This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Welcome back to Knapp Field on the campus of Southwestern High School. My name is Gary Volker alongside Dan Newkirk. And Dan, we were talking about the Carlinville Cavaliers and, of course, their outstanding quarterback in Aiden Taberzi. But a 1-2 punch is what they really have, and it's an unusual 1-2 punch. Wearing jerseys number 1 and 2, Ethan Sieglock and Carson Weiser, they are definitely a 1-2 punch in the receiving corps. And of course, they also have can add in with that Henry Kufa, who does a very good job, and Mason Duckles as well. And we got to see Luke Daugherty even get in for some plays. So it is a stable of not just running backs, but receivers.
Yes, really just very athletic receivers. They run well, they catch the ball well, but probably more importantly is their route trees. They run great routes, they find open grass, and Taberzi just does an outstanding job of getting the ball to them in space so that they can be athletes. So it's a dangerous combination they have over there, no doubt. But I think that the key for the guys in green and gold are keeping the ball on the ground, keeping it in control, and keep that clock ticking.
Speaking of the clock, it's just started ticking now as it was a short kickoff, and the Paisal Bird is going to bring it out just about to the 40-yard line, and they will start scrimmaging there. Paisal Birds decked out in their green over green uniforms, yellow numerals with a white trim, much easier to see than those white jerseys. And the Cavaliers, they're in their white over blue with the blue numerals, and so the Paisal Birds will start from their own 40, first and 10.
Looks like for their defense, they're going with a five-man front for the Cavaliers, looking for that running game from Paisal right off the bat.
Given that 52 look, they will go to Gavin Day. He's going to try the right side. He's going to turn the corner. He's going to go down the sideline. A flag is thrown back here at the 40-yard line as Day is off to the races. He's raising a hand, but there's a flag back here we're going to have to see. They're going to bring this one back, because that flag was thrown at the 42-yard line, and the official says, hold on, there's a holding call. And so the Paisal Birds, who electrified this crowd with what looked like a 60-yard touchdown run by Gavin Day, they're going to bring it back because of a holding mistake. Ow.
Yeah, but I tell you what, you made the statement earlier, Gary, that Gavin Day is definitely in a very short list of company with best running backs in the conference, and he showed it right there. He got to the edge against a very quick, very athletic defense of the Cavies and made it look pretty easy. Ethan Sieglock was out on the edge, and he just about broke his ankles making a move on him and before he headed up the sideline. So very impressive, although erased off the board, a very impressive run by Gavin Day.
So they'll mark the ball back at about the 31-yard line, so it'll be a first and 19. Is that penalty occurred just across the line of scrimmage. And the Paisal Birds will now regroup, and there's one of the things we talked about, having wind take them out of your sail. A quick six, and now we come back to have to do it again. And Coach said, but that's the first play I wanted to run. Now it'll be a fake today, and it'll be Strobeck taking it himself. And it's going to be Aaron Wills, I believe, coming up there. Wills, the big 6'5", 200-pound senior. He comes up for a loss on the play, tackling back at the 25. So that'll bring up a second and 25 for the Paisal Birds. And after going 60 yards and bringing it back, now they're headed the wrong way. Quentin Strobeck, a 6-foot, 150-pound junior. He's the only back in the backfield, as the Paisal Birds have three wide on the left, one on the right. They're going to go a post pattern to Day down the middle. Day has not got the ability to get to that one, as he was trying to run under it. Couldn't get there, and that'll be a third and 25, but he was open, Dan.
Yes, he was, and just dropped that ball in there. He had lots of green grass ahead of him.
So that's going to bring up a third and 25 from the 25. And the clock has stopped with 10:52 to go here in the first quarter. So now the Paisal Birds will send trips out again to the right side. Strobeck will get the snap. He'll give it to Funk. Funk is going to try to go up the middle on a draw. He'll get back about 5 yards out to about the 30. That's going to be it. It'll be punt time for the Piesaw Birds. So the Piesaw Birds look like they had six on the board, but instead they will be punting here in the early going. On their first possession, the Cavalier defense, although they got stymied on the first time, they were able to come up with a stop, and the Piesaw Birds will be punting. Put a foot into it at about the 20-yard line. High snap. Funk gets a good foot into it. Line drive kick comes down on about the 35. It's going to be fumbled there. They wanted to do a little reverse, but the Piesaw Birds had it covered. Now a little zig and a little zag, and all of a sudden a good run out there as that was.
And Henry Kufa.
Henry Kufa.
On the return, Jacob Fisher came up, made a great tackle, but not before Kufa made several Piesaw Birds miss.
Yeah.
And had a nice return on the kickoff.
Yeah, they wanted to run the reverse and couldn't get it accomplished because of the fumble, and it worked out quite well for Kufa as he makes a nice run back of it out to the 45-yard line. So the Cavies, they'll set up in good field position on their own 45, first and 10. They'll send three receivers wide to the left. They've got two of them wide to the right. They'll run the little swing pass out here to Mason Patton, and Patton is going to be brought down by Colin Robinson. As he gets a few yards, they'll mark it down at about the, let's call it the 47. So we'll give him a gain of a couple and call it second and eight.
Really great job by the exterior of the Piesaw Birds coming up making that tackle.
Robinson with a good tackle there. Now the hole opens up the middle, so Taberzi says, I'll take it. He'll go across midfield, and he'll take it down to the 45. Looks like going to be good enough for a Cavalier first down. When in doubt, take it yourself, as that was a delayed draw, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm almost thinking probably by design. Had a pretty good pass rush by the defensive line of Southwestern play before, so maybe trying to settle them down a little bit.
Taberzi now back there with one back in the backfield, and he'll give it to him, and I believe that's going to be Mason Patton on the run. Yes, as Patton's going to get back to the line of scrimmage, and that's about it. As the Piesaw Birds were ready for that one up the middle.
Yeah, there wasn't much running room there. Pretty stout defensive line up front for the Birds.
Logan Keith, a 6'1", 200-pound sophomore, leading the way on that tackle, going to bring up a second and 10. Two wide receivers to one side, one to the other. Got a guy cutting over the middle. Catch is made. Nice pass there by Taberzi. As he found, that was Duckles out there, I believe, wasn't it? Yep. Number 28, Duckles, goes up to the, or down to the 35 for another first down. Had that one measured off just right, and they'll move the chains. As we said, Duckles, one of the receivers they'll look to out there. Henry Kufa is another wide receiver, as well as Ethan Sieglock and Carson Weiser. So they have four of them out there they can go to at any time. First and 10 from the 34-yard line. They'll hand it off to Patton. Patton's going to stop as he hesitates. He's going to be brought down, but after a nice gain, however, down to about the 30-yard line. We'll give him a gain of about four, and we'll call it second and six.
Great job up front by the offensive line for the Cavaliers. Gage Hanna, Colton Robinson, Kai Williams, Harrison Naputi, and Declan Braley up there really doing a great job up front.
They're moving the Piesaw Birds off. Oh, nice play fake there. Now Taberzi's going to keep it himself. Now he's going to drop back. Wants the pass. Looks over, and the ball was tipped. But you talk about a guy. Brings back Fran Tarkington memories to me.
Yeah, really did. Had really, boy, interesting. Colton Robinson had snuck past the line of scrimmage, and he was up the field a little bit. They were lucky not to get flagged there for an illegal receiver downfield.
Well, I don't think anybody, including the officials, was thinking that was going to end up being a pass. It looked like he was going to pull the ball down and run.
Now, credit the defensive line for the Birds for continuing to pursue from behind, because that forced the Birds into trying to get rid of the ball, not take the loss.
third, about a half dozen, as the Cavaliers are in four down territory if they need be. Now the pass over the middle is incomplete, intended for Carson Weiser, as that one just simply went right through his hands, a little bit behind him, but I know Carson will tell you, I should have had that one.
Yeah, I should have. And it was going to be, he was going to be right at the first down marker, and he had a group of green and yellow helmets right around him, but being a big boy, I'm sure he was going to be able to lean in and get that first down.
This is what the Cavaliers are wanting to do, just move the chains. They're up to a fourth and five now. They'll put they'll put 2 men in motion, then they'll get reset. Now they've got double slots, double split ends out here. And now Seaglock sets in his position. And as Coach Easterday looks over the situation, he didn't like what he saw. So with 7:31 to go, we're scoreless. Piesaw Birds and Cavaliers, we'll take a break. You're listening to WSMI. Well, the Cavaliers set trips out here to the right side, and there's a penalty flag down on the fourth down play. Let's see what the penalty flag is going to be called, as it was an incomplete pass. It'll be a holding call against the Cavaliers. The Piesaw Birds will decline. So just as the Cavalier defense held on their first opportunity, the Piesaw Birds, they bent, but they didn't break.
Right, just really a great job when they had to come up and make plays. Taberzi had Buckles open, had Duckles open out on the right-hand side, just overthrew him to the sideline.
Yeah, flooded the three receivers over there as they were clustered in a triangle out here way off the tackle's edge there. But the pass is incomplete. Now the Piesaw Birds will take over. They'll send two wide receivers out to the right, one wide one here to the left. One goes in motion. Now they give the ball up the middle as the handoff is going to go to... Is that Fisher on the carry there? Yes, I believe it was. Jacob Fisher, the 5'9", 170-pound junior. He picks up about four. Let's call it the 34. 33, we'll call it second and seven. Fisher, as we said, a 5'9", 175-pound junior in the backfield there. Again, the Piesaw Birds will send Colin Robinson out wide on one side. Charlie Darr's wide on this side. Now they'll run the option. They'll pitch it out to Day. Day's going to cut up the middle. He's going to spin off one. Oh, he got hold of his jersey, or he would have been off to the races, but he still stretched that jersey, brought it out over the 40 to the 42. Needed seven, picked up nine, first and ten, Piesaw Birds.
What a great little move right there at the end at the chains. It looked like he was going to be bottled up and be stopped just short of the first down. He kind of hit the brakes, backed up the horse for a minute, jumped to the side, and punched it forward to get that first down. Really, pretty swift little move.
Yeah, that was the Piesaw Birds' first down of the game. And now they'll scrimmage from the 41-yard line, first and ten. Strobeck's sitting back there in the pistol with a couple of guys there with him. He's going to fire it over the middle, and that pass is thrown to the outside. The receiver that time looked like he fell down trying to get open. And who was that on the reception? Was that going to be Caleb Mary? As when he turned, he slipped, and the ball went right over the top of him. It'll be second and 10 from the 41. Ball resting on the right hash mark. Piesaw Birds are going from our right to left, or to the north end zone, as we're about halfway through quarter number one. 6:15 showing on that first quarter clock. Little cross-buck action going to Day, and Day once again has his jersey pulled as he gets out to about the 45-yard line. Four tough yards. I'll tell you what, if he was wearing those old tearaway jerseys, he'd still be running.
Yeah, he'd have ripped right away from that. There's been a couple times that the only way that Cavaliers get their hands on him is by the shirt tail, and they're doing everything they can to hang on to Gavin Day.
Yeah, he might want to tuck that in tightly at halftime or maybe even before. Brings up a third and six for SWHS. Ball resting on their own 45-yard line. Clock running with 5:35 to go here in the first quarter. We're scoreless, Cavaliers and Piesaw Birds. Strobeck takes a snap. drops back. There's pressure. He wants to go up the middle. Looks like he was going to be tackled. Then he gets to the outside, and he is tackled as he tried to roll out. Pursuit of the Cavaliers was just relentless there, as it looked like Jake Eaglehoff comes up with a nice tackle over there for a loss all the way back to the 37. So it'll be punt time for the Birds. You talk about a swarming defense. It looked like Strobeck was going to be free there, and just as he spun out of one tackler, would-be tackler, he spun right into the arms of two or three more. And so the Paisaw Birds will punt again, and Funk gets a good high one. It's going to come down on about the 35. It's going to bounce out of bounds, and the Cavaliers are going to have decent field position on their own 35. They'll bring their offense back out on the field. We're scoreless with 4:42 to go here in the first quarter. A lot of people thought between these two teams and their high-powered offenses, we might have a lot of points, and we might still. But both teams' defenses have showed up here in the early going, Dan.
Yeah, so far we're tearing up the middle of the field, basically going from the 30-yard line to the 30-yard line. So until somebody breaks free here.
Now the play that they just ran on fourth down previously, it looks like the Cavs are coming back with it as they're sending three receivers in a tight triangle out here on the right side. Ball is over on the left hash mark. They're over close to the right hash mark as the Cavaliers, as we said, in their white over blue uniforms, they're going towards the south end zone, or from our left to our right. Taberzi sends a man in motion, and he'll hand the ball off to Mason Patton. Patton's going to turn the corner and make a nice run over there, finally be driven out of bounds after a gain of nearly 5 yards out to the 40-yard line. It'll bring up a second and, let's call it second and five. Tell you what, you got to like the way he got to the outside there. Patton, as we said, he has had some really good games for the Cavaliers, and he may not be Bobby Seals, but he's a pretty good running back in his own right.
Yes, he is. It didn't look like he was in the game, but maybe a yard or two, and turned that into 5 yards.
Now they'll send it back the other side as the handoff will go to Carson Weiser, and he has three blockers out ahead of him. He's finally going to be shoved out of bounds over there by Funk on the near sideline. He's going to get across midfield, and the Cavs are going to bring the ball all the way down to the southwestern 43-yard line. 17-yard gain, first and 10 Cavs.
Had a little glimpse of the old Carlinville jet sweep action that they used to run for a long time.
Well, I like that play because you get those three receivers sitting out there, and they immediately turn into three blockers. Now they'll put the three over to the far side. We'll have two receivers out here. Somebody hollers out pass. Well, there's nobody in the backfield. Either quarterback's going to run it. Now a man in motion. He quarterback will run it on the fake, and then he's going to slip. I didn't think we had that much rain here this week, but tell you what, the quarterback, Aiden Taberzi, had his feet go right out from under him at the 44.
Well, I tell you what, that was Devin Yost that stepped up right there in the middle of the field, and I think that Aiden Taberzi kind of made a decision that we're going to live to fight another day because he had a pretty good beat on him.
He did the quick slide, so to speak. At the 44, it'll bring up a second and 10. He'll send a man in motion. That's Patton again. He's going to run that draw play again. He'll scoot to the outside. Paisaw Birds are chasing him, but they're not going to be able to run him out of bounds until he gets all the way down to the 33-yard line. 11-yard gain for Taberzi. First and 10 for the Cavaliers. And this is a side of Taberzi that a lot of people maybe didn't realize. He's a good running back in his own right.
Well, he's a fantastic athlete, and if you see him on the baseball field, anybody could be able to tell you that. But, yeah, when he pulled that ball and took off, it's a five-yard game before we even saw anybody.
I just figured out his biggest problem, trying to look over to the far side and see what Coach Easterday's calling for a play. We saw the back of his helmet, but you could tell he was squinting trying to get that. Now he's going to go to the air as he launches one over the middle.
Ooh,
oh,
boy.
In and out of the hands of Siglock. And I tell you what, Ethan Siglock had split the defenders, and he was running that deep post good for six, but the pass goes incomplete, second and 10.
You almost have to wonder, Quentin Strobeck, from his safety position on the opposite side of the field, came across and gave a swat at it but missed. And you almost wonder if that was just enough to disrupt Siglock's view of the ball because it did. It hit him right in the hands.
And that's going to bring up a second and 10. As we have Duckles over here to split in, we'll send a man in motion. Whoa, he's going to turn the corner and go down. Running back there was Jack Rouse, and Rouse is brought down by the Paisaw Birds back at the 40 for a loss of 7. Blake Funk in on the tackle brings up a 3rd and 17.
Great job of staying home by the right defensive end and tackle for the Birds. They just sat home and waited for that play to come right to them.
That was one of those plays that did work quite the way we wanted it to. Jack Rouse was brought down for a loss. However, the Cavies will go back to the air, and they'll go deep again. This time, Strobeck's going to come up with the interception as he was playing safety. You talked about how he came over, drifted over earlier, and this time Strobeck comes up with the INT down at, what's that going to be, about the 7 or 8-yard line there?
Inside the 10. But, yeah, like I said, Quentin Strobeck got a really great look at that last one and probably kicked himself for not going up with two hands and picking it off. And, boy, the second time that Traversi went to that well, he was there ready to drink.
So, what are they on their 7-yard line? So, basically, that interception just served the same purpose as a pretty good punt.
Right.
Ball resting down inside, I'm going to call it the 7-yard line, as they've got to get out over the 15 to about the 17 for a first down. They get things ready. Now the referee blows the ball ready for play. Strobeck, got to be careful here. You do not want to turn it over deep in your own zone. So he's going to hand it off to Funk. Funk's going to try the right side. He's going to turn the corner. Another penalty flag thrown just as he made the turn, and I believe it's going to be another holding call on SWHS.
Yeah, it looks like it's right in that area where they sprung the play.
Indeed, the holding call on the Paisaw Birds going to take this one back. It'll still be first down. They're going to move this one back half the distance. So from the 7, it's going to go back to the 3.5. We'll call it the 4. Call it 1st and 13.
Boy, it's quite a shame because that's the second time now that they've had a really good positive play and it was getting called back on a holding call.
Somebody's going to get a talking to at halftime, I would say.
Well, I hate to say it, but it's about from the same area of the field as the one that called back the touchdown.
So you think it might be the same culprit?
Yeah, possibly.
Hand off once again to Funk. Funk this time is going to have trouble turning that corner. He's going to get most of the penalty yardage back. And to bring up a 2nd and 11. And the ball will be resting on about the, 5-yard line there. We're going to call it the 5. It's close enough.
We got Caleb Mary running plays in for the Birds.
So it'll bring up a 2nd and 11. We're down to 2 minutes to go here in the first quarter. We're scoreless. Paisaw Birds are backed up against the goal line here. And Strobeck is going to give the ball off to Day, and Day's going to, he was dead to rights, but here was the 2nd and 3rd man. There's that Carlinville pursuit on defense. First guy slows him down. 2nd and 3rd guy make the tackle. Going to be a loss on the play. He was lucky that he didn't get dropped in the end zone. Looks like it's all the way back on about the 2-yard line. So it's going to be 3rd and very long. Now, would you consider punting here?
I was about to say that. You know, depending on how good of a, Strobeck's a very good athlete, just sort of throwing the ball, running the ball, and on an interception. But can he punt a ball?
Well, Funk is in the backfield, and Funk could put a good foot into it. Of course, the Cavaliers have nobody back, so there wouldn't be a run back. But they're going to go instead to Funk out in the flat. He's going to get the ball out to about the 5-yard line, and that's going to be it. Paisaw Birds for the second time tonight are going to be 3 and out, as they will be punting the ball from deep in their own territory. Sieglock back to receive. And also back there with him is Henry Kufa. Two very capable return men Here, will the Cavaliers go for the block? They are setting up a recovery. Funk could not get the ball, and so he's going to try to run it out. First big mistake is the bad snap on the punt for the Pistol Birds. So the Cavies, they are going to get the ball, and I'm not sure but what they're going to be inside the 10-yard line. It looks like they're going to spot the ball at the 9. I thought perhaps that Funk could still have gotten off a punt that time with a quick step, but he chose to try to run it out. And as a result, the Cavies, they're knock, knock, knocking on a door with 29 seconds to go here in the first quarter. Strobeck stopped the last drive with an interception, but I think the Cavies may keep this one on the ground and take it right on in. They'll give the ball off. Is that Patton going up the chute? And he's going to be brought down inside the 5. Well, it looks like they're going to bring it about the 6-yard line. There's a little gain there. So it's going to be second and goal for the Cavaliers. And that's going to do it for the first quarter as the Cavies are ready to start walking to the north end of the field where they'll continue their drive. We are scoreless, but Carlinville is knock, knock, knocking on the door. When we come back, David Jenkins, our producer, back in the studio. I'm Gary Boker alongside Dan Newkirk. The Cavaliers got a big break when the Paisaw Birds, in attempting to punt, got a bad snap from center. Funk could not handle it. As a result, he picked it up and tried to run and get what yardage he could. Didn't get out to the 10-yard line. Now the Cavaliers looking with a second and goal to see if they can capitalize on that Bird mistake.
In a close game, oftentimes turnovers. Carlinville has one. You know, mistakes, a drop punt. But really those two holding calls are what are kind of haunting the Birds right now.
Yeah, they are.
From really being in this game.
All right, it's going to be Taberzi rolling out. He's got a receiver, and a catch is made over there, as that is Carson Weiser, who makes the catch over in the right corner of the end zone. So Taberzi to Weiser for the touchdown. I like that play execution, as there was a play action there to freeze the linebackers. Now the Cavaliers set up, and they will bring their line together and look for, nope, they're going to go for two, as Taberzi puts the tee aside and he says, hey, let's go for two. He's going to roll out. He's going to throw the ball over the middle, and it's going to be good as the pass is caught there by Zach Reels. So Reels, who was set up the snap, he was an eligible lineman because the linemen were all over to his left side, and so it's a two-point conversion, making it 8-0 Carlinville with 11:48 to go, 11:54 to go in the second quarter. Cavaliers score first. We'll be back with the Cavvy kickoff after these messages on WSMI. There's something to be said for running straight north and south, and that time Fisher did exactly that, and then at the end of the play, we had a good old scrum.
It did. It almost looked like a rugby game with the two teams pushing back and forth. I kept kind of listening for a whistle, and they were content to kind of let them push and shove on each other.
Well, I
and
think it was entertaining.
At the end of it, Fisher kind of squirted out the other side and fell down.
Yeah, he was ready to keep on going.
Oh, but, yeah.
Instead, it'll be 1st and 10 for the Paisaw Birds on their own 39 as they trail here 8-0 early in the second quarter. Strobeck has a couple of receivers out there, and they're going to try to go up the middle. That's not going to go very far. Harris Naputi was there quickly to come up with the stop. Looked like he also had Kai Williams in there as well. And Colton Robinson. Well, Robinson's in almost every play. Going to be a loss back to the 35-yard line. So a loss of 4. Going to bring up a 2nd and 14. And once again, the swarming defense of the Cavaliers. As we approach the 11-minute mark of quarter number 2, Strobeck in the backfield by himself. Well, he's not by himself now because he's got 3 or 4 Cavaliers right on top of him, but he tosses this one out to Charlie Darr, a 6-foot, 130-pound senior. Darr makes the catch out at about the 41-yard line. So he's going to have a pickup of about 6 on the play. It's going to bring up a 3rd down and still about 8 or 9 to go. tell you what Strobeck had to say. What the heck's going on? All these white jerseys surrounding me. I didn't invite them.
They got there in a hurry.
Third and nine for the Paisaw Birds. Cavies are showing five up front. It's a 52 look. They'll toss the ball out. It's an incomplete pass. Yeah, they're going to call it incomplete. A little late on the whistle. I thought it might have been a lateral, but instead it'll be an incomplete pass. And so the Paisaw Birds, third time out of four possessions, they're going to be three and out. And let's hope for the Paisaw Birds' sake that their long snapper was over here on the sideline getting some practice in. Funk could not handle that last one. Sieglock is back to receive. And it looks like Jake Schwartz might be there as well. We put a man in motion. Funk gets a good foot into it. I'll tell you what, he's got an explosive leg there. Now the ball is on the ground. Paisaw Birds could not recover as Strobeck coming down on the defense was there to overrun the ball and allow. No, that wasn't Strobeck. That was number nine, Caleb Mary. Overran the ball, and so the Cavaliers, they dodged a bullet there. And they will start first and 10 from their own 33-yard line. Ooh, what could have been for the Paisaw Birds? He squirted that one out, and Caleb Mary, just like I didn't see it, went right on by it. Cavies recovered from the 43 to Bursey with one touchdown pass in his pocket already. Looks at trips to the right, one wide receiver to the left, one back in the backfield. They'll send a man in motion. Now Taberzi will roll out. He pump fakes. Now he's looking for his short receiver. Oh, a nice catch there by Duckles, and then a good stiff arm as he gets out to the 50-yard line. I'll tell you what, Duckles at 5'11", 200 pounds, he looked like a fire plug running down there, didn't he?
Yeah, it really did. Put a great stiff arm on, like you said, too, to pick up those extra couple of yards.
And there's a situation where the defender, there's no way he was expecting that, and that was a jolt to his body. Ball to the 49-yard line of the Paisaw Birds. Cavaliers with an 8-0 lead. They're in Paisaw Bird territory once again. Taberzi this time is going to roll out left. He's going to fire the little short pass. Oh, in and out of the hands of Weiser. Paisaw Birds almost came up with another INT. Lane Gage made a diving attempt but could not quite get there, so it'll bring up a second and 10 from the 49.
Well, and those are the, and again, in that close game, those are the opportunities that you just can't let slip through your fingers because.
Slip through your gloves.
It's through the gloves.
Slip through your gloves. Take the gloves off, gentlemen, and that doesn't happen.
Aiden Taberzi is just not going to give you a lot of those chances.
That's just an old timer there. But anyway, he's going to roll out again. Oh, he's got a receiver open deep, but instead he's going to go to his short receiver who's almost going to come up with a first down. Weiser is going to get down to about the 40-yard line. Looks like he may come up a little bit short, but did you see Sieglock going down the side or going down the hash marks here on the near side?
Yes, I did. And I'm sure the Carlinville coach over in the booth saw that also. And something tells me we may be coming back to that at some point.
Going to bring up a third and one from the Southwestern just inside the 40-yard line. Got twins to the left, twins to the right, one back in the backfield. Send Weiser in motion. Is he'll come over and set up, make trips. Now the official over here on the near side, he throws the flag, and I don't know what he didn't like. Maybe it was the horn from the truck who went by on a highway. It'll be a procedure call against the Cavaliers. So that'll move them back five to the 45, and it'll bring up a third and six now for CHS. Is that their first penalty tonight?
Yes, I believe that is the first penalty for the Cavaliers. Always a team that does not commit a lot of penalties. Very well coached.
Well, this is an offense that those 5 yards they can pick up very easily with this passing game. I was very impressed with it in the second half of the game I called at Gibson City. Now Taberzi's going to roll out. Look, got the receiver over the middle, and that's Mason Duckles. He just waited for Duckles to come across the middle and get open. Jacob Fisher was following, tackling him as soon as he caught the ball, but it's good enough to move the chains. Another first and 10, Cavaliers. Spot that ball at the 30-yard line. So from the Southwestern 30-yard line, it'll be first and 10 for the Cavvies. 8:35 to go as they got the chain set. The Cavvies have an 8-0 lead. See if they can pick up some more. They're going to hand the ball off.
Oh.
This time the Mason Patton gets the call, and he comes over to the near side. He gets just about to the 25-yard line, so we'll give him a gain of 5. Nice run there by Patton, picking up 5, second and 5, CHS.
Boy, I tell you what, you got to give a lot of credit on that play also to Gavin Day with a great tackle at the end of that play.
As we said, the Pinesaw Birds done a little work on their basic tackling technique this week. Now going to be a quick toss out here to Sieglock. Sieglock is going to spin, try to get away, but a good defensive effort there by Colin Robinson, the 5'11", 140-pound junior, as he stops him in his tracks after a gain of a couple, maybe, well, I think they're going to give him about 4. Looks like they're going to mark that ball down at about the 26. So that's going to bring up a 3rd and 1. 3rd and 1 for the Cavaliers. Clock running as we hit the 8-minute mark of the second quarter. CHS with an 8-0 lead, looking for more. They'll send a man in motion, and that's Carson Weiser. He'll come over to the far side. Now the handoff going to go right up the middle to Mason Patton. Looked like to me Weiser may have turned and started going upfield just a little bit early, but nonetheless, the call not made. Ball goes down to the 13-yard line, an outstanding run there by the running back, Mason Patton. It'll be a 1st and 10 for the Cavaliers. They're in the red zone again.
Mason Patton only weighing in at 5'8", 165 pounds. Really runs a little bit bigger than that, I think. And I think probably the Birds defensive line might agree.
Runs quick, runs hard. Amen to that. Now Day's trying to run to the back, see if he can get hold of the quarterback, but I'll tell you what, a good job there by Taberzi of getting out there and making the catch. Got a flag on the field?
Got a flag over out in front of where Taberzi was rolling out.
Did we get a lineman downfield?
Well, it came out early, so it could have been an early procedure. It could have been a lineman that broke off down the field, too, but
they'll
it came pretty early in the play.
Call a procedure call. So that's going to move the ball out to, what, about the 18-yard line? Looks like they'll spot it at the 18. Over here on the left hash mark, it'll bring up a 1st and 15. But as we said earlier, 5-yard penalty really doesn't affect these Cavaliers. They can chew up the yardage quickly as long as they've got receivers who are open. Now they're going to bring their running back, Mason Patton, out here. So he's going to be in a slot along with Sieglock. They'll put Weiser in motion. Weiser will come over. Now they got Trips over here to the near side. Oh, good job there by Taberzi as he simply deked one way and went the other way, and the Pisaw Birds were left in their tracks there as Taberzi takes the ball down to about the 10-yard line for an 8-yard gain.
I think probably a planned run. He brought the ball up, kind of gave a little ball fake, but then was really quick to take off.
You always teach your defense, though, when you're coming in, you've got to break down and don't run past that guy. If you run past him, we're playing 10-man football when you do that. Now Coach Easterday decides he'll take a timeout at 6:38 to go here in the second quarter. Cavaliers, they lead 8-0. They're knock, knock, knocking on the door when we come back on WSMI. David Jenkins, our producer, back in the studio. I'm Gary Boker. Alongside Dan Newkirk, Jason Darth just went out and talked to the defense, see if he can come up with something to stop this Cavalier drive, as now it's going to be Taberzi rolling out, and he finds Mason Duckles over there on the far side for a nice gain. Let's get that ball down to where they're going to mark it, about the 5, inside the 5. Let's see. Looking through the double windows. Let's call it about the 4-yard line. So 3rd and 1 for the Cavaliers. They're in 4-down territory. They're not going to need it because they're going to hand the ball off. And into the end zone will go Mason Patton. Patton with a 5-yard touchdown or 4-yard touchdown run. There was no stopping him there, Dan.
No, just right up the middle, and nothing real pretty. Unless you're one of those guys and gals that likes offensive line play because they fired off the ball and didn't stop block until they got in the end zone. Really easy play for Mason Penn just to run behind and dance in.
So the Cavaliers scored once at the first 2 seconds of the quarter. They have scored another one as this comes at 6:26. But the point after is no good as it went off the side of the foot and came up short. And so with 6:26 to go till halftime, it is Carlinville 14, Southwestern nothing. Back with a Cavalier kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Piesaw Birds take the kickoff as that was Fisher who gets the ball out over the 20, about to the 27-yard line. So the Piesaw Birds will start scrimmaging there. I said last week as I watched Pena and Southwestern play, Pena came up with two quick touchdowns. And I said the Piesaw Birds, the possession following that second touchdown was the key to the game. They had to get a touchdown to get back in the game or things were going to get ugly. And this is where they're at a week later. They need a good possession here.
Plenty of time on the clock, 6:18 to go in the quarter. So it's not like Coach Keith has to panic and by any stretch of the imagination. They've got plenty of time to take it down the field.
With the ball over on the left hash mark, Strobeck's going to roll out. It's a designed run as he zigs and then zags. Got a good block downfield there from Day, from Mary, and is able to get the ball out to about the 40-yard line. And that was good for a Piesaw Bird first down. And on the play there, as we said, Mary was out there and made a good block on that one as Caleb Mary, the 5'10", 190-pound senior, with a block to lead the way from the 40. First and 10, Piesaw Birds. Three of their four possessions have been three and out. See what they can do here. Whoa, this time Gavin Day is swallowed up. Aaron Wills, one of the first one to come in there, and Wills helps him up. And also in there is Kai Williams. Williams takes the ball and says, here, I'll give it to the official for you. You're kind of busy right now, dusting the dirt off.
Yeah, Caleb Weedy's in there also from his defensive tackle position. They had plenty of help in there, keeping that thing surrounded up and bottled up.
Well, I think they watched the Pena film from last week, and that's one thing the Pena defense did. They swarmed with three or four guys around Day and not let him make those juke steps and spin away from tackles. And once again, he's being hemmed in tonight. Strobeck's going to go to the air. Pass is going to be deflected and incomplete. Intended receiver there was Caleb Mary. But the pass was tipped, and he just couldn't quite get his hands under it. That's going to bring up a third and 11. All right. So now third and 11 as we're inside 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. Piesaw Birds going to need a big play here if they want to keep from another three and out, Dan.
Yeah, I'm just thinking how impressed I am with Aaron Wills. He's made plays all over the place at 6'5", tipping balls, bottling in runs. Had a great game so far.
Now they come up, they put pressure on Strobeck, and he goes down. Who was that coming through there?
And Mr. Colton Robinson.
Robinson once again.
He's going to open up holes in offense and he can close them up on defense.
They're going to spot the ball all the way back at the 30, so it's going to be a loss of 9 on the play. Once again, punt time. As much as I'm impressed with the Carlinville offense, I'm even more impressed with their defense here tonight in the early going.
Really very aggressive, sure tackling. They're not running up the field. They're running through the ball carriers and just doing a great job.
Siglock and Weiser back to get the punt. This time it's going to be Weiser. He fumbles it, and he's going to have to set on it right there. And as the flag comes in, I believe we're going to have an illegal block by the Cavaliers. And it really had nothing to do with the play, Dan. It was over to the side, and the play was over.
Right. Whether it be a block in the back or what it was, it definitely wasn't going to be necessary.
This is interesting. Block in the back is at the 39-yard line. The ball was at the 35. Okay, it'll be to the Piesaw Birds' advantage to go ahead and walk off the penalty. instead of taking the play. So that will bring the Cavaliers back. Oh, my goodness. Going to take it back to the 35. That's what I thought. So from their own 35, it'll be a first and 10 for the Cavs. 25, excuse me. From the 25. First and 10 from the 25. Siglock going to hand the ball off. And a nice run up the middle there by Mason Patton.
Boy, I tell you what, the handoff, Aiden Tabersi's got almost a Houdini set of hands. He gets that snap, and he gets the ball handed off to Patton so quickly. It's really, really difficult to believe that they make it every time because it happens just so quickly.
He does it definitely. I mean, it's almost like he's a stealth bomber there. You don't hardly see him coming. But the penalty is going to take it all the way back to the 15-yard line. So that'll be a 10-yard penalty, going to bring up a first and 20 for the Paisalbergs. It's perhaps their best offense is the defense out here taking these penalties. Ooh, low snap. Tabersi does a good job coming up with it. Then the Paisalbergs did not wrap up. Strobeck put body on body but didn't wrap arms, and he'll hear about that as receiver bounced off of him and comes out to about the 27, 28-yard line. Going to be a pickup of about 12, so that'll make it second and 8 for the Paisalbergs, and that was lackluster tackling, and I tell you what, you cannot afford to do that against the Cavaliers. If you're going to hit him, you better hit him hard enough you knock him completely off the feet. If not, they're going to keep on going, and there he goes. As once again, Mason Patton to the outside. He's going to be finally brought down by Strobeck, but not until he gets down to the 35-yard line. So that'll be 15 and 23, 35 yards, 38 yards for the Cavaliers. As we said, they are very quick, they're very aggressive, and they get through the hole oh so quickly.
Oh, Mason Patton, boy, can he roll. When he finally, for the first time, he got into the open field, made one move on a guy, broke to the outside, and boy, just an explosive runner.
He's sitting back there saying, hey, give it to me again. Tabersi says, no, we'll run the option. I'll fake to you, then I'll take it myself. Then he'll run about out of bounds, but not until he gets inside the 30, down close to the 25. Let's mark it probably at about the 27. So we give him a gain of about 7 and call it second and 3. Or thereabouts. And 3:05 on the clock. He was run out of bounds over there, so the clock won't start until the snap. Tabersi's going to take it. He's going to hand it off once again to Mason Patton, and Patton's going to get a first down as he'll get the ball down to about the, looks like going to mark it at about the 21. Needed 3, picked up 6. First and 10, Cavaliers. They lead 14 to nothing here as they'll start the clock back up after they move the chains. And so with the ball on about the 22-yard line, they'll call it first and 10, Cavaliers. Tabersi once again with Patton in the backfield behind him. Two receivers, they'll fake. Taberzi's going to keep it. He's going to run around the left side, and then he's going to dive. And as he does, flag going to be thrown. Kind of a sideways dive. Are you going to call the penalty because he gave himself up and they hit him late? He didn't go feet first, but let's see. You know what the intention was. He was ready for the play to end.
It was, but it's an awkward slide that he makes.
Whoa, that's not the call.
Yeah, I almost wondered because a bird was clapping.
So it's going to be a holding call. And I don't know how necessary that holding was because Tabersi did a good job. But the penalty is going to bring the ball back to what? The 23-yard line again? So from the 23, it'll still be a first and 10, first and 11 after the penalty. Tabersi, oh, low snap. He's able to recover, and he gets the ball out there to Patton. Patton turns the corner, and the Paisalbergs, when they go to flip the guy over, they're doing the old suplex slam, and it picks up an extra 2 or 3 yards for the Cavaliers. He'll take it down 30, 20, what are we at, about the 12, 11-yard line? Going to be second and one. So we're going to call that down at about the 13-yard line. That sounds good to me. From the Paisaw Bird, 13. It'll be a first down. Taberzi's going to keep it himself. Now he's going to roll back. He's got a receiver out there. He hits his receiver, and that's Henry Kufa. Kufa makes the catch inside the five, and he's going to be brought down there by the Paisaw Bird, Sam Anderson, coming up on the stop. Not until he gets all the way down to the 3-yard line. It'll be a first and goal. Cavaliers is there. Knock, knock, knocking on the door. They lead 14 to nothing, and they're looking for more, Dan.
Yeah, that and that was Henry Kufa's catch. Makes it the 6th receiver he's found in the first half. No favoritism.
No favoritism at all. Now it's going to be Mason Patton into the end zone from 3 yards out. Mason Patton had a touchdown on the last drive, and he comes right back and does the same thing this time. A 3-yard touchdown run for Mason Patton makes it 20 to nothing with a point after attempt coming up. This at the 1:25 mark of the second quarter. Duckles will be doing the honors. As it snaps back, the ball's down, the kick's up, it's high, it's long, and it's good. And with that, the Cavaliers extend their lead to 21 to nothing over the Paisaw Birds. We'll be back with the Cavs kickoff after these messages on WSMI.
Whether you're looking for a farm storage facility, insulated workshop, hobby garage, horse barn, or custom home, Morton will provide the building you will be proud to call your own. Morton buildings are built to stand the test of time. If you can dream it, Morton can make it a reality. Come see us in Litchfield or go to MortonBuildings.com.
Get into the game. Challenge yourself to eat healthy with farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products. For a light, healthy snack, you'll hit a home run with Prairie Farms yogurt flavored with fruit. And when you want something sweet, try Prairie Farms frozen yogurt. Get into the game, the health-conscious game, and taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
Take advantage of the in-stock sale today at Quality Flooring. While supplies last, get hardwood flooring starting at just $309 per square foot. Vinyl plank starting at $269 a square foot, and vinyl or carpet just 99 cents a square foot. That's Quality Flooring. 5 miles west of Litchfield on Route 16, quality you can stand on.
WSMI FM 106.1.
So the Carlinville Cavaliers have, after a first quarter scoreless quarter, they've come up with 3 touchdowns here in the second quarter, and they lead 21 to nothing here as the kickoff for the Paisaw Birds is brought out to about the 44-yard line. Who was that on the carry there?
That was Lane Gage, who had the return, and Ryan Hart for the Cavaliers made the tackle.
Lane Gage, who last year when there was no football but there was cross country, he and Colin Robinson became cross country runners last fall.
A little bit of conditioning.
Yeah, pretty good job. But this year they decided to go back home to roost on the football field. We will accept that. 1:18 to go till halftime. 21 to nothing. Carlinville has the lead. Paisaw Birds want to try to get a score, but don't give the ball away, as this one is overthrown all the way down at the 30-yard line. The intended receiver there was Rocky Dar. And it is incomplete, bringing up a second and 10 from the 44. And, Dan, as I was saying, right now the one thing that the Paisaw Birds want to do is score. But the second thing they got to make sure they do is don't give the ball back.
Absolutely, because obviously the Cavaliers have shown that very little time is needed. They still get that weapon, Ethan Siglock, that can really fly down the field, that they could score in a moment's notice with him on a deep pattern.
Their defense is coming hard. The Paisaw Bird's going to go to Day. Day slips one tackle. He gets up the middle. He goes across midfield. He's going to be brought down at about the 47-yard line of Carlinville. Nice run there by Gavin Day. So that'll bring up a 3rd and 2 from the Cavaliers' 47-yard line. Paisaw Birds need to get... Well, Strobeck carries that ball down low. Now the pass out there looked like it was intended. Who was that there? Caleb Mary again?
Kayla Mary. Kayla Mary on
Robinson. In any event, it was an incomplete pass. Now with
actually, I believe it was Charlie Darr. I think it was Charlie Darr.
44 seconds to go till halftime. It's a fourth and two. You going to punt it and let the Cavies have the ball back again? Well, it looks like that's what the Paisaw Birds are up to. When they go into punt formation, Funk simply goes back about 9 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Here comes the snap back to him. It's a good one. It's going to be a fake because he's going to run it. And I don't think he's going to get the first down as he's going to be driven out of bounds on the 46. He needed to get to the 45. So the fake punt to the near side of the field did not work for the Paisaw Birds and the Cavaliers. They're going to have outstanding field position as they'll have the ball first and 10. And it'll be on their own 47-yard line. Shall they make the Paisaw Birds pay? They'll send a couple of receivers wide to the right. They'll send Patton. Patton's going to be a safety back. He'll be back about 10 yards. He's just kind of a safety gap back there to make sure that either the ball goes to his quarterback, they're going to take a knee, and that's the way they're going to finish the first half, I do believe. So it looks like both teams are content to head to the locker room. It'll be a halftime, homecoming halftime here at Paisaw, as it'll be a 20-minute break between the first half and the second half. But the first half, especially the second quarter, belong to the Cavaliers as they put 21 points on the board. And it is Carlinville 21, Southwestern nothing at halftime. Back after these messages on WSMI. Homecoming festivities are completed. Coach Jeff Alderman was honored tonight as he entered the Illinois Football Coaches Hall of Fame. And congratulations to him as he is making his second stop here at Southwestern. He was our head coach years ago. Moved on and went elsewhere, and now he's retired and decided he wanted to come back and spend some time out in the good, clean air of the country.
Well, there's plenty of it out here. And what a great honor for Coach Alderman. You know, when you think about football coach and the time that spent, you and I both spent a little time on the gridiron, and it's, you know, not only congratulations to Coach, but to his family, to his support staff that is always required for a coach to have a very successful run. So congratulations to the entire Alderman family.
One of the first times he and I had a get-together, an acquaintance in which we had camaraderie, he was bringing his big football lineman out on the track to do some running. And I was over here at the far side, and I'm waving my hands, and I'm shaking my head no, and he looked at me and said, "What's the matter? We can use the track." I said, "Yeah, but spread them out. You can't put them all on one side. The track will tilt." And ever since then, he and I have hit it off. He got to know me. I got to know him. And we both had a lot of fun, enjoyed his friendship and camaraderie through the years. Looks like now as the clock is running down that both teams are heading out on the field. They're going to be ready to set things up. Southwestern received the opening kickoff. So they will be kicking off to the Cavaliers as we start the third quarter. SWHS will be on the north end, defending the north end zone. They'll be heading south, or from our left to our right. And the Cavaliers, as we said, they're decked out in their white tops with the blue pants, blue numerals. And they're all set to receive the kickoff to start the second half. Got to wait till we get the clock set. Officials are waiting. Really cooled off nicely. I just hope this doesn't bring a whole lot of rain with it, Dan, as we're looking forward to a big cross-country meet here tomorrow. And you've had some pretty good news on the golf front this week.
Yeah, we had a really good week. We had the Boys and Girls Regional Golf Tournaments this week, and our young Panthers. The boys on Wednesday placed fourth, missing the third qualifying spot as a team by just five strokes. But our sophomore number one guy, Tug Schwab, qualified as an individual, placed fifth or tied for fifth overall in the tournament. And then our girls team placed second. We split the Catholic schools. Alton Marquette, quite a juggernaut, won the regional, and we finished ahead of Father McGivney by just one stroke. So the ladies qualifying for Monday's sectional.
Good job. It had nothing to do with the coach either, right?
No. I stay out of the way and let them do their thing.
Well, with some of these kids, when they hit the ball, you better stay out of the way. It may go left, it may go right, who knows. The kickoff is going to be returned by Mason Duckles, as it was a short kickoff. They could bring it out to about the 36-yard line. So from their 36-yard line, Cavies will start first and 10, and Coach Newkirk is going to have at least another week of coaching golf.
Yeah, I like coaching on that last day. I don't know, I'm kind of funny like that. I like coaching on the last day of the season.
So final day of the season.
Going to try to get somebody through to state.
All right, they're going to hand the ball off to Pat, and he's going to bounce off of one tackler, and then Pump's going to come up and put him on the ground out at about the 39-yard line after a gain of three. And Funk let him know that, hey, I'm here to stay. I'm here to play.
Yeah, really pretty good pop. The D-line slowed him down, but Funk came up and definitely finished off the tackle.
So that'll bring up a second down and about seven for the Cavaliers. Tabersley's going to roll out. He's got a receiver. He's going to go once again to the shallow receiver. We're going to say good catch made out there. And I'm not even sure who that was. Was that Carson Weiser? I believe it was. I
believe so.
He makes the catch out at about the 45-yard line. Give him a gain of six, needed seven, so that will bring up a third and one.
Well, we got Ethan Siglock down here on our side of the field just antsing to run down this field. I just keep waiting for Tabersley to pull the trigger on a deep one to him.
And he's got one-on-one.
Oh.
Whoa! Funk comes firing through from his linebacking position. And Mason Patton that time, just as he got the ball, he got whacked and set back on the seat of his pants. They're going to give him to the 43. Could be a loss of a couple. And it'll be punt time for the Cavaliers. And I would say the Paisaw Bird defense is here for the second half. Now will the offense be? Nearly a block there by Lane Gage. But the punt is going to roll out of bounds down at about the 24-yard line. So the Paisaw Birds, whose defense has made a good showing here to start things off in the second half, will now put their offense out on the field, and they'll see if they can move the ball from left to right towards that south end zone and see if they can get a homecoming game score here this evening.
You know, Gary, when we go back to that last defensive stop by Piasaw, what a great adjustment by the Birds coaching staff. I think clearly Funk has now centered in on Mason Patton, and I bet those two get very acquainted through this second half.
Before the night is over.
Homecoming dance is going to start a little early, I think.
Cavie's showing that 52 look once again. Strobeck facing that five-man front. He'll give the ball off to Day. Day's going to turn the corner on the far side, and he's going to be brought down there. A good open field tackle. Coming up on the play there was Zach Reels for the stop. Just going to be a short gain on the play as they're going to mark this one out at about the, what do they call it, the 20? No, let's call it 28, give him four. Second down and six for the Paisaw Birds, but any time Day doesn't get the corner turned and the afterburner's on, you got to feel like that's a plus.
Right. You hold him just to 4 yards on the outside, and I'd be happy with that as a D coordinator.
So now the Paisaw Birds will split two to the left, one to the right. Secondary for the Cavies backs off. Now a pass is thrown low, but it looks like they're going to say incomplete, going down to make what he thought was the catch there. That was number 12, Charlie Darr, but the pass is incomplete. That'll bring up a third and six from the 28. Once again, the Paisaw Birds, as we said, you've got to put a few plays together to get a few first downs together to hold on to that ball. With the incomplete pass, the clock stops with 9:17 to go here in the third quarter. 21-0, Cavaliers lead. Paisaw Birds will send Colin Robinson out here to the near side. Looks like Gage maybe over on the far side. Nobody in the backfield. Man in motion. They'll fake the jet sweep. Strobeck's going to keep it himself, and Strobeck's going to be rotated around and wrestled to the ground. And coming up on that tackle was that Connor Strutner over there. I believe it was. And so it will be punt time, and once again, the Piasaw Birds going to go three and out as the clock is running at 8:50 to go here in the third quarter. 21-0, the Cavaliers lead. Siglock is back. Who's that over on the far side? Is that Schwartz?
It's Henry Kufa again.
Kufa's over there. Kufa's over there, and he's going to take it on a hop. Oh, he picked up the good hop as it came up good to him. Now there's going to be a flag thrown way back in the back behind the play as Kufa got the ball out over midfield to about the 43-yard line. But this flag's thrown back at the, they're going to take it back to about the 42 and call an illegal block in the back on the Cavaliers. They didn't get away with that one as that was so far away from the play. There's no way that had any effect on the play.
No, there's no way either. Well, and I got a feeling it was kind of a delayed call. You know, sometimes, and it doesn't look good, but sometimes they just have trouble getting the flag out.
Yeah.
And I think that might have been the case.
And there's sometimes where if it's incidental, okay, but if you want to try to mix it up a little bit too much, somebody's going to pay for it.
But it was it did seem to be very, very much behind the play, whether we had trouble getting it out or thought about it and then made the call. Yeah, I'm sure there was a grumble from the Carlinville side of the field on that late call.
So they'll mark the ball at the 32, first and 10 Cavaliers. As Taberzi going to look back, he's got that double screen out here as he's going to get this one off to the receiver, and that's number 31 out there. That's Jake Schwartz making the catch. And Schwartz will get the ball out to about the 37, so we'll give him a gain of about 5, call it second and about 5 for the Cavs. Schwartz, is that yet another receiver?
Yet a seventh receiver, yeah. And another tackle for Funk. So, again, putting on a tackling display for the Birds.
Trips in the triangle out here. Taberzi's going to go to the other side. Oh, that pass was tipped by Jacob Fisher. Got his hands up just a little bit late. If he had picked that one, Piasaw Birds would be celebrating the touchdown right now.
Yeah, he had that sideline and still had even a tip drill. Quentin Strollback just couldn't quite get over to where the ball was tipped to. That would have been a huge turnover for the Piasaw Birds defense.
So that's going to bring up a 3rd and 6. Incomplete pass stops the clock with 7:53 to go here in the third quarter. 21-0 CHS over SWHS. Both teams came into tonight's action at 4-1. Pass out. Oh, what an outstanding catch over the right shoulder. Good defense out there for the Piasaw Birds. But you talk about a guy who concentrated. Carson Weiser was simply not going to be denied as he brought that one in over his right shoulder, kind of Willie Mays style, at the 45. And he needed 5, picked up 8, 1st and 10 Cavaliers. Impressive.
Very impressive pass by Taberzi, putting just that right amount of touch to get over the defender, but yet into Weiser's hands.
And so he's going to try it again. This time it's going to be the little flare pass out there in the flat, and it's going to get out near midfield. They'll mark it at about the 47, give a couple of yards there on the game. Didn't catch who the receiver was over there.
Carson Weiser.
Weiser, okay.
One of his favorites.
This was what I saw at Gibson City. They came out with a passing attack in the second half and just dissected a very good Gibson City team. Now Taberzi's going to roll out. Oh, got the receiver. Catch is made at the 50-yard line by Ethan Siglock. But there's going to be a penalty flag there. Was he creating space before?
Well, there's been a couple times where I thought there was maybe a little bit of push off from a receiver from Carlinville that hasn't gone called.
It will be offensive pass interference as that penalty flag was thrown at the 50. And it's going to back the Cavaliers up. It will still be second down, but now it'll move them back. See, they're going to mark that on the 40.
When you think about, you know, how can an offensive receiver be guilty of pass interference? You know, the case here with Ethan Siglock on this play, as he makes his cut and makes contact with the defender, he extends his arms, pushes, and didn't really push him away, just extended his arms in order to create space that he needed to make his break. And that was just enough to draw that flag from the official.
Okay, they're going to move it all the way back to the 33. So it'll still be second down, but now it'll be second and 23 for the Cavaliers. Yeah, as you said, that little push-off, if you do it, just be kind of sly about it, you get away with it quite a bit. That time the Cavies did not get away with it. This time they will go to Mason Batten. He'll try to shoot right up the middle. He'll get up to only about the 34-yard line, so going to be a minimal gain on that. Still going to be third and about 22.
Well, clearly a big adjustment by the Piesaw defense was that really quick hit run straight up the middle by Mason Patton, and they've done a nice job of bottling it up this second half.
I'm going to say one word, Siglock. Nope, they're going to go with a running play, and Patton is going to get most of that penalty yardage back as he'll take the ball out to about the 43. Picked up 9. Problem was he needed over 20, so it's going to be punt time. Thought for sure they might go to Siglock. You know he's been anxious to go deep.
Oh, he is, and he's a burner. He's just really a burner, and they're playing man on with nothing over the top, and I just keep waiting for the same thing too.
Low end over end kick. Oh, takes a good Cavalier bounce, goes down to the 10-yard line, going to be stopped there, down there by the Cavies. You couldn't ask for any better than to flip the field like that. Ball near midfield, and now the Piesaw Birds are going to have the ball deep in their own territory down on about the 10-yard line. Just inside 5:40 to go, third quarter, 21-0, Cavies with the lead.
Yeah, it was just a really good directional low. I'm going to hit the back of the football more than the middle of the football, creating that real good front spin on the ball. And when it hit the ground, it just took off down the field.
I used to kick them like that every once in a while. Didn't mean to, but sometimes it did happen. As you said, though, that was an outstanding kick by Duckles. So the Piesaw Birds, once again, a long field that they'll have to work. Whoa, Strobeck had that ball out precariously out to his side, holding it like a loaf of bread. There's a guy that did that about 50 years ago, but he had such a clasp on it that nobody could take it out of his hands. Pick up of 3, takes it out to about the, 13-yard line, shall we call it?
Up to the 13-yard line on that play. Strobeck's running the triple option there. And so as he makes his ball fake, that's a real, a real dangerous place, because as I make the ball fake, it is. The ball's really hanging out there in space.
So that brings up a second and 7 from the 13. Inside 5 minutes we go, quarter number 3. Handoff, was going up the middle and then coming up with a big tackle there. Was that with number 71? Was that
I think it was number 31, Jake 30. Schwartz.
Okay, we'll give him that.
From his middle linebacker position. Really nice tackle.
Tell you what, he stepped up quite well there.
Yes, he did.
Little or no gain on the play. We'll mark it still at the 13, and we'll still call it 7 yards to go, but now it's third down. Piesaw Birds will either get a first down or they'll have to give the ball up again. Let's send a couple of receivers out here. That looks like Mary's out there. Strobeck's going to roll out. He'll hit his second receiver, who's going to be driven out of bounds, as that was a good catch there by Colin Robinson. But then coming up quickly was Mason Duckles. And I'll tell you what, that could have been a targeting call. One guy went down, the other guy went down, and he just drove him out of bounds. I'll get lower than you.
Boy, a big step here with a lot of time left in the second half on 4th and 2. Looks like the Piesaw Birds are going to keep their offense on the field.
4th and 2 for the Piesaw Birds. Do they have a play in mind, or are they going to try to hard count? Oh, I tell you what, another mistake for the Piesaw Birds. It's going to go into and out of the end zone. I don't think Strobeck was even thinking the ball was coming. He had no idea, and it sailed right past him. Fortunately for the Piesaw Birds, it sailed right out of the end zone for safety, but definitely a wheel fell off the wagon there.
Well, it did, and I almost wonder if it was not intended to be a direct snap, perhaps today or somebody else, but, yeah, it. Whoever it was to, nobody back there was ready for the snap
well,
to come
I'm,
to him. That's
I'm not
for sure.
So sure that it wasn't supposed to be snapped. I'm not so sure that they weren't thinking hard count, get the first down.
Yeah, that's possible.
Not. But in any event, it did not go well for the Piesaw Birds, and so the Cavaliers will pick up two more points, make it 23-0. Now the Piesaw Birds will have a free kick from their own 20-yard line. Don't see that a whole lot in football, but it happens periodically.
It's really brought a hush over this.
Yes,
this Piesaw homecoming crowd.
That wasn't what they were looking for. I see a couple of the coaches over on the sideline. They're shaking their heads like that wasn't what we had in mind. And now it will be Logan Keith, the 6'1", 200-pound sophomore. He's the backup quarterback. He'll kick it off the tee, and the ball will go back to the Cavaliers. Where will they begin? We shall see. As that one is kicked. Oh, nice kick there. And as the receiver was trying to turn the corner, he slipped and fell. Henry Kupa maybe want to wear the longer cleats there. I don't know. But that one just feet slipped out from under him. Still going to be outstanding field position for the Cavaliers, but that's about the best the Piesaw Birds could hope for on that one.
Henry Kupa kind of limping off the field there. I think he got it kind of jammed up when he came down. Henry, also a member of the Cavaliers golf team, is qualified also for the upcoming sectional tournament. He and our Tug Schwab are in the same playing group together.
There you go. They'll give the ball off to Patton again. Patton is going to be met as he crosses midfield. Piesaw Birds can't bring him down. Patton finally pulls away from the pile, but the officials had sounded the whistle. So he went from his own 48 to the Southwestern 48. We'll give him a gain of 4 and call it 2nd and 6. The more I see of Mason Patton, the more I like this 5'8", 165-pound senior.
Seems very durable for his size, runs hard.
I was just thinking
just a
that
bullet
same
in the backfield.
Durable is what he has been for the Cavs. Now man in motion, he'll come back, he'll roll to the outside. Pass is going to be incomplete. I think the Piesaw Birds may have got a hand on that one. But that was a situation where Weiser moved to the inside, and then he worked to the outside trying to get free, but the defense stayed with him, bringing up now a third down and still about 6 yards to go. Ball on the Southwestern 48-yard line. And here's where you have to kind of think this could be four-down territory. Cavaliers have that much faith in their offense, I'm sure, and I know they have faith in their defense. DeBerzy says, let's not worry about a fourth down. Let's get the first down here on third down, because he'll drop back. Got his receivers going deep. Sieglock's there, but the defenders go outside, and they have the receivers covered. So that time, the quarterback, DeBerzy, says, hey, I'll just pull the ball down, turn the corner, and run it myself. Proving once again he's not only a passer, he's a runner in that quarterback position, getting the ball down to the 38-yard line. Needed 6, picked up 10, 1st and 10, Cavaliers.
I really think it was a look at Ethan Sieglock on kind of a sluggo route into the corner of the end zone.
Well, he better
but
look
he got
at Sieglock.
Tangled up.
He better start looking at him because Ethan's going to let him have a wide board. Man, I've been running these patterns. I've been breaking free. Patton is going to break free. And he's going to get the ball down to the 30-yard line before he's brought down. That's going to bring up a 2nd and short. Tell you what, that's another thing I like about Patton. He gets the ball so quickly. He gets to the hole so quickly. He gets through the hole so quickly. There's just not a whole lot you can do to stop him unless there's a penalty flag down.
Well, and I think what's going to happen, Patton was kind of hung up there at the end, and someone came in and kind of tagged him late.
It'll be a personal foul against the Birds. When things aren't going well, sometimes these aggravations create more aggravations. So the ball was at the 31, and they're going to mark the penalty off. Now they're going to throw another flag. Somebody out there in the field said something that shouldn't have been said. And the Piesaw Birds, I think, are going to pick up another penalty. Dead ball. First unsportsmanlike conduct. Piesaw Birds. Those are the kind of mistakes you cannot have if you want to be a winning program.
Yeah, it really is.
Keep your wits about you.
It was bad enough. Came up, had the late hit. But now you're going to turn it into a 30-yard penalty. Well, now you're going to run out of yardage.
Okay, they're going to start it from the 30. They're going to mark it down to the 20.
He's going to need
to
launch on this walk.
They're on walking. Going to go to the 15. And he's going to go even further than that. He's taking it all the way down to the 10-yard line. It's going to be a first and goal inside the 10 for the Cavaliers. And the Piesaw Birds have nobody to blame but themselves for those 30 yards.
Yeah, just loss of control on the field.
So first and goal, ball sitting on about the 9-yard line, we'll say. As now Taberzi checks to get his call from coach. He's ready. Single back in the backfield behind him. He'll roll out. He'll give the ball off to Patton. Patton will drop that shoulder, and he'll try to turn the corner and get run out of bounds. Looks like about the 8-yard line. We'll give him a gain of 1, call it second and goal. 2:09 to go in the third quarter. Cavs leading 23-0. 3 touchdowns in the second quarter. A safety in quarter number 3. And they're knock, knock, knocking on the door, looking for more right here with 2:09 to go in quarter number 3. Taberzi going to give the ball. No, he's going to keep it himself. He's going to roll out and see if he can throw a touchdown pass. And he finds Carson Weiser wide open in the end zone. I don't know what happened to the defense there, but Weiser either picked up a screen or somehow got himself open for his second touchdown reception of the night. This one comes from Aiden Taberzi to Carson Weiser, and it's good for an 8-yard touchdown pass.
That's really set up by the success that Aiden Taberzi's had running the ball. Weiser kind of turned in like he was going to block, ran a little whip route to the outside then, and the defender stayed thinking, okay, I'm going to get a shot on the quarterback this time, and whoops, he threw it over my head.
And the point after attempt is up by Mason Duckles, and it's good. So Duckles puts his second extra point through the uprights, and that makes it 30-0 in favor of the Cavaliers. We'll be back with the CHS kickoff after these messages on WSMI. David Jenkins, our producer, back at the studio. I'm Gary Boker alongside Dan Newkirk. And that time, the Cavaliers, first time, they took advantage of a bad snap to pick up a free 2 points on the safety. This time, they took advantage of some ill-opportune opportunities for the Piesaw Birds. A couple of costly penalties marched them down. It was a 7-play, 52-yard drive. But what do we say, 30 of those yards were on penalties?
Right, 30. 30-yard walk-off, and had a over-enthusiastic tackle, finish on a tackle, and then I think the same player took exception to the penalty, and they tacked on another 15 yards to that, and that's a hard thing for any defense to recover, let alone when you're playing explosive offense.
Well, especially now if it happens between the 40s, that's one thing, but when it puts you down in scoring position, as that took the ball all the way down to the 9-yard line, and as a result, it was more or less a gift wrap touchdown for the Cavaliers. And make no mistake about it, they'll take advantage of it. Now it is a short kick, and this one is going to be handled over there by Logan Keith, the 6'1", 200-pound sophomore, son of the coach, we might add. And he'll take the ball out to midfield from the 50. The Piesaw Birds trailing now 30-0. We'll have a first and 10. So Weiser picks up his second touchdown reception of the night. Taberzi, his second touchdown pass of the night. Mason Patton has 2 touchdown runs to add to that. tack on a safety for good measure, and it's 30-0 in favor of the Cavaliers, and we still have 2 minutes to go in quarter number three. So the Piceaw Birds will start from the 50-yard line. They have gone nearly seven quarters without scoring now. Time to get some points on the board, gentlemen. They give the ball off to Funk, and Funk's not going anywhere. He's going to be run out of bounds. And I think there's a little bit of extra there as the flag goes flying. He not only was driven out of bounds, but was driven almost to the track. And I believe Zach Reels might have been a little bit too anxious on that, as one official is trying to talk to him, tell him to settle down. And he's saying, when I hit him, he was still in bounds.
And he's not lying.
Right.
The problem was he just kept driving them, and then they left their feet and landed on top of them. And that's an easy call. You're making it easy for the official to make that.
So here are the last couple of minutes of the game. Penalties are winning. There have been 40 yards in penalties here in the last 2 minutes. Takes the ball down to the 36-yard line. It'll be a first and 10 for the Piceaw Birds from the Cavaliers' 36-yard line. Strobeck with Funk there beside him. Funk is trying to give him some help. He'll try to throw the pass on the near side. Like, oh, that official came from the back, and he wanted to make sure everybody knows that ball hit the ground. We're not going to count that one. And they do not. Incomplete pass will bring up a second and 10, but you kind of like it when the officials get a little animated.
What was interesting was he came from the backside of the play. The ball side official wasn't real sure he wanted to call that one either way.
Yeah. In any event, it'll bring up a second and 10 for the Piceaw Birds. Strobeck with a back on each side of it. Going to give the ball off to Day. Day slips through. Day could be gone. He's off to the races. To the 10. To the 5. Touchdown. Gavin Day. 36 yards on the touchdown for Gavin Day. And that's the first time tonight that he's been elusive enough that the Cavaliers couldn't get a couple of bodies on him and slow him down. So Gavin Day is on the board for the Piceaw Birds, and that 6-plus quarters of scoreless football has come to an end. With 1:41 to go here in the third quarter, the Piceaw Birds with a three-play, 50-yard drive culminated by Gavin Day's touchdown run. Strobeck now. He's going to fake the pass. He's going to try to run it in himself, and he's going to come up short. We've got a flag on the play. We'll see. Is that going to be a holding call against SWHS? The call comes our way. And the Cavaliers will decline. So that will make our score Carlinville 30, Southwestern 6. We'll be back with the Piceaw Bird kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Gavin Day found the end zone from 36 yards out. Piceaw Birds are on the board. They're going to try a squib kick, and it's going to be gathered there at the 49-yard line. Good hands there for Charlie Kessinger for the Cavaliers, as he just simply went to his knees, gathered that one up. Cavaliers will get the ball on their own 49, leading 30-6.
Really interesting, real little play. The player just inside the kicker broke off and came running around, almost like he was running an option run. Yeah, kind of looped around. And the kickoffs have gotten so downplayed at the higher levels. They still let them do some fun stuff at the high school level.
So the Cavaliers can take the ball and give it out to Carson Weiser. Weiser's going to try to turn the corner. He's finally going to be shoved out of bounds, but not until he gets all the way down to the 43-yard line of the Piceaw Birds. So that'll be a gain of 8. Make it second and, well, they're going to give him a gain of 7. Let's call it second and 8. from 43. Ran out of bounds, so the clock stops with 1:31 to go.
You know, things are going well. Taberzi kind of mishandled the snap. Then he had trouble getting a grip on it to throw it. By the time he got to Weiser, and they still gain 8 yards in the play.
Botch play, good for 8. Now they'll go out. This one's a lateral out here to Weiser, and Weiser gets the makes the catch. He was hit by Lane Gage, but Gage didn't wrap him up. Slowed him down enough, however, for the rest of the Birds to come get him and bring him down. Well, they're going to give him forward progress to the 47-yard line, so that's going to be a loss of about 4 on the play. So that'll bring up 3rd and 6 from the Southwestern 47. And with less than a minute to go, this could be our final play of the third quarter. Two wide receivers way out to the right. They fake and then go deep. Got a receiver down there. A leaping catch. No, could not quite hang on to it. Was that Duckles down there?
I believe it was Mason Duckles, yeah. Almost made a spinning around kind of acrobatic.
Yeah.
Acrobatic catch, but just couldn't quite pull it in.
Should be punt time, but will it be punt time? Final 35 seconds of the third quarter. Duckles is going to go back there in the punt formation.
Let's see if he's got those line drive end over end punts again.
Days back there.
No, he does not.
He's high with the kick. Gets a good bounce once again. Day makes the catch. Ooh, slips right through. Two tacklers. Great move there by Gavin Day. But then the Cavaliers cover him up, bring him down. Coming up on the tackle there for CHS was Zach Reels. He's been in on several tackles tonight. The Paisaw Birds with 22 seconds. They'll get the ball back. Oop, we got a flag on the play. So the Paisaw Birds are going to have the option here. It's going to be a holding against Southwestern. Okay. So they're going to mark this off against the Paisaw Birds. The official pointed the wrong directions. And he said, my fault. The holding was against the green team.
So that's going to take some challenging field position and make it.
So was at the 23.
Make it difficult.
No, after the ball was at the 18. They go half the distance. Will they take it to the 9? Yes, he will. He'll move it. He's going inside the 10. He'll go to the, I believe he's walking to about the 8-yard line. From the 8 or the 9, take your pick. Paisaw Birds backed up against their goal line once again. They have had long fields several times, give the Cavaliers credit. They have pinned the Paisaw Birds deep repeatedly, and the Paisaw Birds have had difficulty. Oh, that one is juggled by Strobeck. He comes up with it. Whoa, could have been a horse collar. It is a horse collar. Those flags come flying in from left and right. If the right one don't get you, the left one will. The ball carrier went out of bounds at about the 13-yard line, but I think we're going to come out closer to, well, let's see. He'll call the personal foul, horse collar, on the Cavaliers. And this is something neither coach really likes to see, losing control and poor tactics, as we say.
No, we're looking. Carlinville's looking for a showdown week 9 with Pena. And so they've got these games to kind of clean things up and get ready for that game. And I don't think that's the direction that they want to go with it.
So you that's going to move the ball out to the 28-yard line.
On that last play, I really want to get Charlie Darr from his receiver spot. Really did a great job of blocking out there in front of Strobeck to kind of bring that play out to where it was.
From the 28, they'll give the ball to Funk. Funk will go up to the middle. He's going to be hit from behind by Colton Robinson. As he put a good hit on the backside, brought him down at about the 32-yard line. We'll give him a gain of, let's call it three and call it second and seven, and that's going to bring the third quarter to an end. So we'll switch ends, and as we do, we'll take this break. 12 minutes to go. Fourth quarter action coming up. Cavaliers 30, Piesaw Birds 6. We'll switch ends, and the green-clad Piesaw Birds will start with the ball on the 31-yard line. It'll be a second and seven as the Piesaw Birds are heading north, along with that breeze that's coming out of the southeast, bringing some rain to us, I believe. Oh, Gavin Day left his feet trying to jump over the defenders. Gets out over the 30 to about the 32, back to the original line of scrimmage. But tell you what, that's a dangerous move right there.
Yeah, stay on your feet. You know, when you think about where the power comes, all those great runs that Gavin Day has, it's his feet pounding the ground, and you just don't want to put yourself in a compromised position like that.
So the ball will be placed still at the 31. It's third down now, still 7 yards to go. Fourth quarter clock is running following the running play, and it is third and six. Strobeck gives the ball off to Day. Day's jersey is getting grabbed once again as the Cavaliers are clinging to that one. And down at the bottom of the pile is Harrison Naputi coming up. Final guy to come up off the pile. Ball's going to be spotted at the 29. Loss of three. Going to bring up a fourth and one.
It's a speed option to the left. It just really lacked the speed. And that's a play that really needs that explosive quick hit to be successful, because you're going to leave guys unblocked, and when it's delayed like that, it's really tough to get back to line of scrimmage.
My mistake. Fourth and nine as Strobeck looks for Day across the middle. Gavin's there. He makes the catch at the 35-yard line, and he'll get out to about the 40-yard line, and they're going to say he fumbled at the end of the play. I believe he did, and it was fumbled over there on the far sideline, and the Cavaliers will recover. So finally get a good run or a good pass play today, and as he's brought down, the ball is stripped, and the Cavaliers, leading 30-6, will have the ball in Piesaw Bird territory from the southwestern 40-yard line. It'll be first and 10 Cavies. Even when something good happens, it turns bad.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, I'm looking at the offensive lineman coming off of the Piesaw, and just a little frustration. It's been a tough day for those guys up front. They've done a good job, too.
Well, now some good move there by Aiden Taberzi as he looked at the receiver, a little pump fake, got everybody in the middle, moving out the linebackers, that is, and he decided, I'll pull it down and take it myself. And Taberzi's going to get a first down out of it, as he'll get the ball down to, what do we mark it at, the 29. Gain of 11. How many yards does Taberzi have just running?
That's 68 yards. Yeah. So he's closing on 70 yards on just 8 carries. So
and passed for quite a few as well.
Yeah, he's at 135 passing. So
he's at 200 yards
game.
On the night. He's going to turn around and hand it off. Looked like there's a new kid on the block there, Luke Daugherty, 6'1", 160-pound junior on the carry. First time we've called his name in the backfield tonight, I believe.
When I noticed on the last play, too, that Mason Patton was not back there in the backfield. They had Carson Weiser back there. I'm sure they've taken their thoroughbred and just pulled him off the racetrack for the rest of the game and keep him safe and healthy.
Well, they've got things to look forward to. Next week they will be hosting Litchfield. Week 8 they will go to Greenville. Week 9 they will host Pena. So they've got a couple of tough ones ahead. They want to make sure they keep everybody healthy. And as you said, I think they're going to let some of the younger guys get in on some action here. We're going to have a couple of guys shift from the left side to the right side. They're all set, so it'll be a toss sweep. They'll give the ball off to Patton. Patton is going to take the ball down to about the 30-yard line for a nice game, or excuse me, the 20-yard line. 25, right? Let me get my line straight here.
Down to the 20.
We'll mark him at the 20, so that's going to bring up a third and short, third and two from the 20-yard line.
Now, so by my loose calculation, that puts Patton over 100 yards rushing on the night.
And I tell you what, he has been very concise. Very little to the left, very little to the right. Most everything straight ahead. Here I come. Catch me if you can.
No, because he's got that kind of slasher, zigzag type build to him. But boy, he runs like he's a 200 pounder.
Well, the hole's big enough right there that he could just go right on through. And when he got in the secondary, first layer could not come up with a tackle, and he goes down all the way down to about the 5-yard line. A 15-yard gain makes it first and goal for the Cavies.
Boy, and Strobeck came up from a safety position, and Patton just lowered a shoulder and went right through him.
So now the Cavaliers are going to take their time and let a little of the play clock run off. It's down to 16. They'll look over and get their play called in from the sideline. Mason Patton in the backfield behind Taberzi. Patton's going to get the call, and he's going to try to spin his way into the end zone. It looks like he's going to come up a little bit short. He's going to be down at about the 2-yard line. So from the 2-yard line, it'll be second and goal for the Cavaliers. As we said, the Cavaliers, in their last 5 games, they have scored over 40 points in each of those games. They're heading that way now. They're on the 30 mark and knock, knock, knocking on the door for some more right here. Will Taberzi keep it? Will he give it to Patton? Will he go to the air? He'll give it to Patton. Patton's going to follow that big old offensive line in, and he'll take it into the end zone for the touchdown. Patton's going to get credit for 6 points, Dan, but you know as well as I do, that was that offensive line that did it tonight.
Yeah, it really was. Big offensive line up front. And let's give those guys a little bit of love here. So at left tackle, we got Gage Hanna, a 6'1", 210-pound senior. Left guard, Colton Robinson, 6', 240-pound senior. At center, Kai Williams is a 5'9", 210-pound senior. Right guard, Harrison Naputi, 5'9", 200-pound senior. And the one underclassman, just a junior, number 62, Declan Braley, 5'9", 160-pound junior.
The extra point is no good. And so our score will remain 36-6. It's a 30-point lead for the Cavaliers. That touchdown comes with 6:51 to go in the fourth quarter. And the Cavies make up for that Gavin Day touchdown run. And as they increase their lead back to 30 points once again. Cavies kickoff coming up after these messages on WSMI. It was a little spinner kick, just barely going 10 yards. Charlie Darr was there to corral it. Pius Alvarez will have the ball on their own 39. First and 10. David Jenkins, he's our producer back at the studio tonight. And I know he's having fun keeping up with all of the football going on in the area. Perhaps if we get a break here within the next couple of minutes, he might fill us in on some of the scores throughout the South Central Conference tonight. But first things first, Pius Alberts with the ball. First and 10 on their own 39. Strobeck to the air. Now to the ground as he's going to run the draw. He's got the first down. He's out to the midfield stripe, and he's finally going to be pushed out of bounds by Jake Eaglehoff, but not until Quentin Strobeck gets all the way down to the 41-yard line of Carlinville. It'll be a first and 10, but Strobeck rather slow getting up. In fact, he's not getting up at all. Now they're working. I hope, yeah, looks like they're
looks
working
like cramps.
On cramps.
Good. Good. Not, yep. Not good.
Which means?
Because he's hurting, but not injured.
Which means that Logan Keith, the backup quarterback, will come in. Logan can handle this job pretty well. As a sophomore, he's very mature, and I say that because he's a coach's son, and as a result, even though he's only been 2 years in high school, he's been around the game his whole life. He'll take the ball and hand off to Gavin Day, penalty flag comes in from the back, even before Day made a cut. It's going to be a holding call against the Paisaw Birds, and Gavin just can't seem to get on track because of the penalties in front of him.
Right. It's really been, and he seems to do a good job of keeping his head and staying in the game, but, boy, it'd be frustrating. He's had some nice runs negated.
They'll take the ball back to the Southwestern 46-yard line. And so that's going to make it still first down. But now they're going to have to go, what, about almost 20 yards? Let's call it 18. First and 18. No, let's call it first and 22. It's a long way to go. Let's put it that way. Keith gets him set, gets the snap, fires to the receiver there, and that was Mason Day, not Gavin, but Mason Day. He's another good one coming up, 5'11", 200-pound junior. Mason makes the catch. He's going to be brought down there by Mason Duckles. Duckles a little slow getting up. Ball's going to be placed on the Carlinville 45. Going to bring up a second and still about 15 yards to go. They'll mark it on the 46. Clock continues to run as Strobeck back in there. He goes down, being brought down there by Brandon Roth, big defensive lineman in there, and also in there was Kai Williams as well, as the ball is going to be resting once again on the 49-yard line of Carlinville. It's going to bring up a third down, third and still about 14 yards to go. So Strobeck called his own number. In the backfield, he's got Fisher with him. Oh, low pass. That's the kind of pass that's a lose-lose situation. If you don't catch it, it's an incomplete pass. If you do catch it diving for it, it's going to be a loss on the play. They're going to call it incomplete, bring the ball back to the 49-yard line of the Cavaliers. It'll bring up a fourth and 14 for SWHS. Incomplete pass stops the clock with 5:24 to go here in the fourth quarter. As we look ahead, Carlinville goes home. Next week, they'll take on the Litchfield Purple Panthers. Where does Southwestern head?
Heading over to Vandalia to take on the Vandals.
Ooh, that's going to be a
that's
tough
going
one.
To be a, that'll be a tough one. It doesn't get any easier in the South Central Conference.
Strobeck gets out of trouble, makes the pass, and it's incomplete as Gavin Day went up for it. But two defenders out there, one of those was Carson Weiser, and he did a good job of getting hands up and knocking that ball loose. And so the incomplete pass going to give the ball back to the Cavies, and they'll get it on their own 49.
Really did. I think Day had the ball in his hands, and Weiser defended the ball, punched up right through his hands, and knocked that ball free.
Good technique, just like you teach in practice.
Yeah, exactly. Really great play by an outstanding player. Normally, Mason Duckles will see catching passes on the offensive side. But
so it'll be first and 10 Cavaliers. We've got Gage Hanna coming in a little bit late there. He may have been getting a drink. Who knows? Snap's going to go off to Patton, or the handoff's going to go off to Patton, and he's going to get the ball into Paisaw Bird territory, down to the Paisaw Birds 43. Gain of 8, going to give him a second and 2 for the Cavaliers. Clock continuing to run as we've gone inside 5 minutes. Paisaw Birds having trouble stopping Mason Patton. Not going to have to on this play because Luke Daugherty has come in to play the tailback position behind Taberzi. Taberzi turns around and says something to him, like maybe I'm going to give you the ball. He does. Daugherty with a nice run. Penalty flag comes down. Daugherty very close to a first down, maybe about a yard short, but we'll see what the penalty flag is. Looks like a holding call against the Cavaliers. Yeah, they've got some of the younger guys in there now, I think. I think the ball will go back to the 46. So it'll go back to their own 46. It'll bring up second and about 13 for the Cavaliers. They've got to get the ball to the Southwestern 41. 4:15 and counting on the clock. Taberzi's going to roll out. Got a couple receivers. Likes to go to the underneath receiver. And he does, giving it off to Mason Duckles. Duckles, 5'11", 200-pound senior. And I'll tell you what, he burrows his way down the field as he makes yards after the catch, taking it all the way down to the Southwestern 36-yard line. First and 10, Cavies. I like the way he runs after he makes a catch.
Really does. And a lot of offenses, how many coaches would look at Mason Duckles in the backfield as a running back? Because you're right, after he catches the ball, he's a tough load to bring down.
All right, the only back now behind Taberzi will be Luke Daugherty, 6'1", 160-pound junior. They'll go double tight. They'll give the ball to Daugherty. Daugherty goes right up the middle, and he's through everybody and to the end zone, Luke Daugherty, with a 36-yard touchdown run. And once again, he follows in the path of Mason Patton. Just run north-south. That's all you got to do. The line blocks. The line creates a hole. All you got to do is go through and to the promised land.
Yeah, again, just a great job by that offensive line of clearing the way. Luke Daugherty, a junior, I believe. Was he a senior?
Daugherty is a 6'1", 160-pound junior.
He is a junior.
He will come back next year, and he will probably inherit Mason Patton's role as the featured running back for the Cavaliers. Point after attempt coming up. As the snap is back, the ball is down, the kick is up. It's high, it's long, but it's off to the left. Point after attempt is no good, and so our scoreboard reads, the Cavaliers 42, the Piesaw Birds 6. Back with the Cavaliers kickoff after these messages on WSMI. All right, the four-play 51-yard drive by the Cavaliers culminated with Luke Daugherty. And you know the best part about this, the offensive line can tell you it doesn't matter who you put back there. When we create the holes, you can get yardage and get scores. Patton had three touchdown runs tonight. They were all short ones, 4, 3, and 2. However, Luke Daugherty comes up with a 36-yard touchdown run to get in the scorebook himself. And again, the same common factor in all of them, an outstanding offensive line that blew the hole wide open. So the Cavaliers will send their defense out now. See a few more clean jerseys out there. Charlie Kessinger comes out here to guard one wide receiver. As the Piesaw Birds have the ball on the 33-yard line. And a short gain up the middle there, or off the right side.
Marcus Payne, a sophomore, 5'8", 170 pounds, in the game for Piesaw, getting the carry.
Okay. And the play comes in, and we got the JV quarterback in there once again. And that, of course, is Logan Keith. From the 31-yard line, it'll be a second and 11 for the Piesaw Birds. 2:40 and counting here in the fourth quarter. We'll give it off to the running back. There is Lane Gage. Gage is going to be driven out of bounds, finally going to be brought down out there by Zach Chapman. Gage with a nice run there as Lane gets the ball out to the 38-yard line. And that'll bring up a third and still about four. Told Lane the other night when he was playing, that may have been the Litchfield game, I said, I apologize. I said, I didn't recognize you the first couple runs because of the white jersey and the yellow numerals. And I said, then I saw the running gait that I had seen so often in cross country. And I said, then I figured out who you were. Gage going to get another run out to the 39. Going to bring up a fourth and three. Funk goes in. Going to pump. Is this going to be a fake? Last time they faked and went to the short side of the field, and it didn't work. We'll see if Funk wants to try it here to the right side. No, he wants to put a foot into it. Cavaliers were playing for a fake. They didn't even put anybody back. The ball hits on the 25, bounces down inside the 15, and it'll be blown dead on about the 11-yard line. So on their own 11, the Cavaliers leading 42-6 will take over. We'll take a break and see if David Jenkins has any scores for us on WSMI.
Thank you very much, Gary Boker. We do have some score updates for you. It is a final at Litchfield. The Pana Panthers defeat the Purple Panthers by a score of 55-0. Last update we heard from Gillespie, the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, a 43-18 lead. And then Vandalia, a 20-12 lead over Staunton. Also, South Central Conference opponents, Greenville and Montgomery City tied at 28 points apiece. And a non-conference game for you, Nokomis all over Marquette, 47-7. Now back to Gary and Dan in Southwestern.
Yeah, Marquette has come up with some dry days, as I think their talent pool has kind of thinned out a bit. And, of course, Nokomis, a very good team, to say the least. We got to see them earlier this season. And, of course, the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, that's interesting that they are hopefully going for a win here tonight. And, of course, nobody knew what was going to happen when you go across to play a team from Missouri, as Greenville was playing Montgomery City, Missouri, a 3-2 team in a non-conference game. And, of course, here it's 42-6. The final 10 seconds are going to be running off. The coaches will meet at midfield. The players will have the handshakes as they go through the lines. And this one is the final in the book. Carlinville 42, Southwestern 6. We'll take a quick break and come back and summarize this South Central Conference action that you've been listening to on WSMI. Well, it started out quickly for the Piesaw Birds, but a penalty made it start out the wrong way. As Gavin Day opened things up, what looked like to be a long touchdown run, a penalty brought that back, and the Piesaw Birds would remain scoreless for nearly the next three quarters. The Cavaliers put together three touchdowns in the second quarter, added a safety, took a 23-0 lead into the locker room at halftime. In the second half, they picked up where they left off in the first half. DeBersey hooked up with Carson Weiser for an 8-yard touchdown pass at the 2:04 mark of quarter number three. Duckel's point after attempt made it 30-0. And then, just a few seconds later, the Piesaw Birds had one of their few bright spots on the night, as Gavin Day took in a 36-yard touchdown run. Point after attempt was no good. Piesaw Birds were on the board, but it was still 30-6 in favor of CHS. In the fourth quarter, halfway through, a 6-play 40-yard drive. Mason Patton with a 2-yard touchdown run. Point after attempt was no good, and it was 36-6. And then with 3:33 to go, Luke Daugherty proved that anybody can run behind this line, as he picked up a 36-yard touchdown run. Point after attempt was no good. That gave us our final score of 42-6. Cavies dominated this one pretty much from the get-go. How about statistically?
Well, for the hometown Piesaw Birds, they accumulated about around 100 yards of offense, led by Gavin Day, 60 yards on the ground on 11 carries. He had a 36-yard touchdown run to really top that off. Quentin Strobeck from his quarterback position threw 14 times, completed four of those passes for 20 yards, with Mason Day getting two of those catches for 18. For the Cavaliers, accumulating almost 250 yards rushing, mostly on the strength of Mason Patton's 128 yards rushing, with quarterback Ian Jaberzy throwing in a good 68 yards to help with that. In relief, Luke Doherty with 38 yards, with, you know, especially with that 36-yard touchdown run. Passing, Ian Jaberzy completed 19 passes of his 26 attempts for 152 yards. He had the two touchdown passes to Carson Weiser, also threw the one interception. One of the keys of the game, though, that the very unselfish seven receivers that were included kind of in the passing party for the Cavaliers. So statistically speaking, it was about as much of a sway to the side as the Cavaliers as the score itself did.
You didn't want to use the word blowout, did you?
I didn't. Well, I didn't want to.
Okay.
You know, we're at their place, and it's homecoming.
But it is what it is.
And I got a lot of good friends over here in green and gold, so we're going to be kind.
And as we look ahead on our broadcast schedule, things that are going on, this, of course, our only Friday night football game this week. But tomorrow we'll have Spotlight on Sports coming your way at 7:30 a.m. on WSMI FM 106. WSMI Sports Saturday comes your way live at 9:03 on WSMI FM 106.1. Tomorrow we also have Fighting Illini football. See if we can get those Illini straightened out, as they will be hosting the Charlotte 49ers tomorrow. That you can hear at 10 a.m. on WAOX 105.3. Cardinals baseball, of course, they have already clinched the pennant. They have the series with the Cubs, and a 5:20 game start tomorrow on WSMI 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. Reminder that next week we got a little bit of combination for you. Next week on Monday we'll have boys high school soccer, Lincolnwood at Carlinville, comes your way live at 6:20 on WSMI FM 106.1 and WSMIRadio.com. Next Friday we'll have a single football game, as it will be Nokomis at Gillespie. Live broadcast comes your way at 6:30 on WSMI FM 106.1 and on WSMIRadio.com. What's ahead for these two teams next week?
Looking down the road, Carlinville Cavaliers are going to host the Litchfield Panthers in Week 7. Piasaw Birds, for them, they have a very tough game to kind of try to pull themselves back up from, against the Vandalia Vandals at Vandalia. So both teams, Carlinville at home against the Panthers from Litchfield, and Southwestern heading to Vandalia.
Well, I said 3 weeks ago, actually 4 weeks ago, when we had Southwestern in Litchfield, Southwestern with a big win against Litchfield that night, but I said they're heading through the gauntlet. They're not through the gauntlet yet, but they did have a win against Greenville here in week four. They lost to Pena 41-0 last week, and now tonight the loss is 42-6 to the Carlinville Cavaliers. As you said, Vandalia lies ahead, then Hillsboro and Gillespie. Piasaw Birds still setting with four wins, needing to get that fifth and possibly a sixth win in order to get in to the playoffs, and they've got three tough ones ahead of them. Final thoughts.
Well, a beautiful night to play. Had homecoming here and a very festive event. But really, when you looked at the football game itself, it was just kind of a one-sided affair with Carlinville taking over from the very beginning and really never really giving up the reins of momentum throughout the entire game.
That's Dan Newkirk. I'm Gary Boker. We want to take this opportunity to thank all of the fine folks here at Southwestern for their hospitality. Of course, thanks to all of our sponsors, without whom we would not be able to bring these games to you. And, of course, thank you to you fans for listening in. Special thanks goes back to the studio to David Jenkins for producing tonight's game. One final time from Knapp Field in Piasaw, our final score is Carlinville 42, Southwestern 6. Gary Boker saying so long from the gridiron.